This is a podcast from ABC Overnights. Here's Michael Pavlich.
In our charity segment this morning, we're going to look at an outfit called the Born Free Foundation. Will Travers, OBE, is the president of the Born Free Foundation. He's also the son of Bill Travers, who was the star of the movie Born Free, who you might remember. And the Born Free Foundation looks at protecting wildlife all over the world. So it's a very good morning to you, Will.
Yes, good morning, Michael.
Thank you for joining us. Well, the first thing I want to ask you is you attended the big burn-off that happened recently in Kenya, and this was the burn-off of a lot of ivory and a lot of rhino trunk. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, absolutely. Well, in fact, it goes back a long way because I attended the very first ivory burn that Kenya ever did in 1989 when I was an awful lot younger, and that was one of the catalysts for the international ivory trade ban that was introduced just a few months after the burn in Kenya all those years ago. Unfortunately, as I'm sure that many of your listeners will know, the situation facing elephants and rhino has deteriorated dramatically in recent years, and this huge burn of 105 metric tons, so 105,000 kilograms of ivory and about 1,350 kilograms of rhino horn took place on the 30th of April in Kenya again, and I was there to witness it, and it sent a signal, a smoke signal if you like, to the rest of the world that Kenya has totally rejected once again the idea of commercializing ivory or rhino horn, and in fact will be leading many African nations together at the Conference on the International Trade in Endangered Species. It's a bit of a mouthful, so we call it CITES, and it's taking place in South Africa at the end of September. And at that conference, Kenya, as I say, with many other African countries, will be calling for all international ivory trade to be banned and for domestic ivory markets to be closed. So it's a pretty important year for elephants and for many other species.
What are some of the other countries in Africa that either agree with Kenya or don't? I mean, what are the countries that are vulnerable? Or if you like, what are the countries where the ivory trade is the strongest?
Well, the ivory trade has been marching relentlessly, the illegal ivory trade marching relentlessly across much of Africa. So there are, in fact, nearly 30 countries with wild elephants that agree with the Kenya position. They include Mali, Ethiopia, Uganda, and a raft of Central and West African countries as well. Now, there are some that disagree. They're in a minority. Those would include Zimbabwe, South Africa, Namibia. Botswana is actually sort of slightly in two minds about this. It has agreed that there should be no ivory trade. It hasn't gone as far as destroying its ivory stockpile, which is what Kenya's done. But there are a handful of countries opposed to this. But the international mood music, if I can call it that, behind what's going on in the world with regard to ivory is pretty significant. You've got China saying that it will close down its domestic markets. Hong Kong says it will close its domestic markets for ivory. The U.S. has closed its domestic markets for ivory. And so the background towards this big conference, and it's an important conference because decisions taken there are legally binding, the background to this conference is moving inexorably in one direction, and that is to end the commodification, commercialization of ivory and other wildlife products.
Why are elephants and rhinos so important for the environment?
Well, elephants in particular, because elephants have been described by a great friend of mine, the preeminent conservation biologist Ian Redmond, as the gardeners of the forests. Now, Ian worked with Diane Fossey on gorillas. He introduced Sir David Attenborough to gorillas for that famous sequence in Life on Earth, and he's taken Sir David off to see elephants that travel hundreds of meters underground into caves in western Kenya to mine salt. And he's studied elephants and great apes in the wild for decades. Now, Ian says that there are seeds that are found in the great forests of Central Africa that simply won't germinate unless they are actually passed through the digestive system of an elephant, emerging, as you might imagine, at the other end, neatly wrapped up in a ball of fertilizer. And those forests are vital, not just for elephants and not just for wildlife. They're vital for humanity as a whole. Maybe the winds don't blow the clouds full of rain as far as Australia, but I can tell you that the clouds that come off the Congo Basin travel across the central belt of Europe, up to the central belt of Europe, across to the grain steppes of Russia, and without that rainfall, we would be worse off. So it's not just that elephants are important and the forests that they live in are important, they're important for us too.
You mentioned David Attenborough there, the great naturalist, and actually watched a great documentary of his yesterday on photoluminescence, which was just amazing. But speaking about naturalists, your father was a naturalist, and he was also an actor, and part of this movie, The Born Free, which must have been a great thing for him to have been a part of. So pretty much it's in your blood, looking after the lions and the wildlife.
I guess it is, and actually I should say my mum was the actress in it. So it was a husband and wife acting team, my dad Bill Travers and my mum Virginia McKenna, who played George and Joy Adamson in the film Born Free, the story of the Adamsons' successful reintroduction of Elsa the lioness to the wild. And yes, you're absolutely right. I mean, I was very young when the film was made. It was actually had its royal premiere 50 years ago this year. But I've been back to Africa perhaps more times than I can now count. We work on a range of projects in Kenya, in Tanzania, Uganda, Ethiopia, the Democratic Republic of Congo, Zambia, South Africa, as well as in parts of the world, other parts of the world, such as Sri Lanka, India, and with our colleagues at Born Free USA in the United States as well. So after 32 years of doing this, we are embedded and relentless in our efforts to try and make the world a better place for wildlife.
Now, your father and your mother did so much for the wildlife of Africa. How do you think they felt at the end? Did they think their struggle was worthwhile? And did it upset them to see that the habitats and the animals themselves are still in massive decline?
Yes. I mean, I was actually talking to my mother today. She's still very active. She's still on the board of Born Free. She travels a great deal, and she's planning to travel to many of our projects next year in 2017. And I think it's a mixture. Of course, one's disappointed, desperately disappointed, that things have not changed for the better to the extent that we would all hope. But at the same time, there are major changes, and we don't just work on animals in the wild. We look at the plight of wild animals in captivity. And so when we see that after many, many years of campaigning, very large organizations such as SeaWorld that have for decades kept orca in captivity have now declared that the orca they currently hold will be the last generation that they keep in captivity. When you hear that the Baltimore Aquarium, long-standing keeper of dolphins in captivity, has declared that it's going to move its animals out by 2020. When you look at the reformation that's taking place in at least some zoos around the world, not just to provide the animals with a better and more stimulating quality of life, but to engage more profoundly with the conservation challenges that are out there in the field, I think we have to accept that there have been disappointments, but we must also celebrate the victories. After all, that's what kind of keeps us going. That's the fuel in the tank, if you will.
Yeah, I imagine there's still a lot of work to do. If people are interested in having a look at the sort of things you're up to and some of your projects, what's the best way for them to do that? Through your website?
Absolutely. I would encourage people, please, do come and visit us at the website. It's www.bornfree.org.uk. Don't be put off by the UK. We operate in many, many countries around the world. That's just our operational hub. But you can adopt animals, you can support the work that Born Free does, or you can just literally find out more about our different programs and maybe find the one that you really want to get involved with. So I, in advance, thank everyone for coming to take a look and welcoming you to the family of Born Free.
All right, good on you, Will. Look, good luck with the Cities Conference as well. And I hope everything turns out okay, and keep up the great work.
You're very kind, and I should give a shout-out to my sister Louise, who lives in Western Australia, on your show. So, hi, Louise. Hope you're having a good day.
Good. Hit on you, Louise. Good morning to you. Thanks, Will. See you later.
All right. Bye-bye. Thanks, Michael.
Will Travers there, OBE, who's the president of the Born Free Foundation.